Starting at the top of Lamed Vavim and Aleph, here the Gemara is in the middle of a sugya of discussing how the Chachamim know that the word Allah, v'shama kol Allah, the word Allah means Shavua. Because Rabbi Chanina, in the previous Gemara, we brought a Breita that disagreed with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that Shvuat HaYidut applies both with the Shem HaMiyuchad of Hashem as well as the Kinuyim. And then we had a Breita that said that it was uniquely, or Shvuat HaYidut was uniquely B'Shem HaMiyuchad. How do we know that? We learned it out from Sota. So Gemara says, what are you going to do with the stira? So Abaye says it's not a question. One is Rabbi Chanina Bar Idi, who says that learns out Shvua, or learns out Allah from Sota. And because he learns out Shvua from Sota, he also learns out that you need Shema Miyuchad like Sota. And he is not the author of the Mishnah, but he's the author of the Braisa. On the other hand, the Chachamim are the author of our Mishnah, who says that you don't even need the Shema Miyuchad, you can even have Kinuyim. But then for the Chachamim themselves, how do they know the word V'shema Kol Allah? How do they know that Allah means Shavua? Where do they get that from? Or where do they know that from? So the Gemara said, brought it from Sota as well, because there it says, by Sota, the Gemara says, well, it says Shavuat HaAllah. That doesn't mean Allah is Shavua, it means Shavuat HaAllah. So the Gemara answers in the end that you're right. It's not that Allah and Shavua are necessarily synonymous, but it's indications from the Pasuk are that the word Allah comes with a Shavua. Whenever you have the word Allah, it also comes along with a Shavua. Now, how do I know that Shavua works when you also have an Allah and when it's by itself? So that we get from Shavuat HaYidut, where it says, Shema Kol HaAllah. Now, the Pasuk could have just said, V'shema HaAllah. Why does it add in the word Kol? So that the Gemara darshins Kol and Allah, to teach you that there's a Shavua with an Allah, and there's a Shavua without an Allah, and they're equal. Either one is fine, or either one is sufficient to create the Shavua that we need for Shavuat HaYidut. That was what we left off with in terms of the Chachamim, or where the source for the Chachamim's Allah is. Now the Gemara is going to entertain another possibility of where the source is for the Allah, and that is on the top of Lam Vav and Amar Aleph, it's 2, 4, 5 lines down, Amar Bo. Minayin Allah Shehi Shavua. So opposed to the previous Gemara that says Allah comes with Shavua, here Rabbi Abbo says that Allah is synonymous with Shavua. How do I know that? Shenemar, because it says in Yechezkel, V'yaveh otam be'Allah. So over there in Yechezkel, it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, who had put the Jews into Galut, and had taken their Sarim and their great people in, and part of what he did to them is V'yaveh otam be'Allah. He put them under an oath, which the Gemara discusses in other places, what exactly the oath was with Tzidkiyahu. Uchtiv. And then in Divrei HaYamim, it says that when the Jews rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, it says, Umar v'gam b'melech b'nerezem marad, this is Tzidkiyahu, asher hishbi'o belukim, that he had taken a shvuah with Hashem. So where is this shvuah, or where was this mishvuah mentioned? That's from the Pasuk in Yechezkel, v'yaveh otam be'Allah. So you see, in Yechezkel, it refers to the covenant or the oath that was taken as an Allah, and when they abrogate the oath, they abrogate the Allah, it calls it a Shvua. So you see that the Navi and the Ketuvim use them interchangeably, the word Allah and Shvua are used interchangeably, and that's what Rabbi Bo is saying, exactly that, that Shvua and Allah are synonymous, and that's why here when it says Shema Kol Allah, we know that it's referring to a Shvua. All right, now the Gemara moves on to the next statement, which says Tano Arur. The word Arur is used in the Torah, but it's used in different ways. Bo Nidui. Sometimes the word arur means that excommunication. Bo klala, sometimes it means to curse. And bo shvua, sometimes it means to take a shvua. And now the Gemara is going to prove each of these items. Bo nidui, when it's talking about as a nidui dichtiv, because it says, oru meiroz amar malach Hashem, oru aror yoshveha. So this is in Shirat Dvorah. And in Shirat Dvorah, Dvorah is chastising those that didn't show up for the battle, those that didn't come to fight against Sisra. And in her statement there, she says, Omru Meiroz, that she is cursing those people from Meiroz, a place. Amar Malach Hashem, Oru Arur Yoshveh, Ki Lo Va'u Lezrat Hashem Bagiborim. Because they didn't come to help fight in the battle against Sisra. So she, what sounds like Oru, is that she cursed them. So the Gemara says, well, it wasn't a curse because we have on that, Amar Ula ba'arba mea shipurei shamte barak lemeroz, that with 400 shofarot, Barak excommunicated the place called Meroz. So we see that over there, the term Oru was not used, or Arur was not used to mean a curse, but rather to mean to excommunicate in this instance. So the Gemara says, bo klala. It also happens to be used, the word Arur is also used as a klala, as a curse. Dichtiv, because it says, right, this is, I mean, this week's Parsha coming up in Parshat Re'eh, but it's also found in Parshat Ki Tavo, Ve'elu yamdu al ha'klala. Right, those that stand on the klala, I mean that the certain of the shvatim were designated towards har eval for the klala, and certain of them were towards har grizim for the bracha, uchtiv. And then it says, what's the klala? Then the psukim enumerate. It says, arura yisha sheyaseh pesel. Right, so there the klala that's been given is arur. So the term arur is being used to describe or to be mefarate what is called in the generic or in the general sense a klala. So you see that the term arur is also used for a klala. Bo shvua, we also know the term arur is used as a shvua, dichtiv. Because here it says in Yoshua, as Yoshua after the conquering of Yericho, and the destruction of Yericho, burning it to the ground, making a telolam, it says, Vayashba Yoshua be'etahi lemor, arur ish lifnei Hashem, who rebuilds the city of Yericho. So there he's using the term arur. So the Gemara says, what it says here, Vayashba, Yeshua took a Shvua, and what's the Shvua? The Shvua is Arur. So you see that the term Arur here is being used as functioning as a Shvua. The Gemara says, Vadilmatarte, Abaduhu. Who says that they are a singular term? Yeshua took a Shvua, and then he says Arur. Maybe they're two. Ashbi Inhu. Vayashba Yeshua, which is not Mifurat. He took a shvua, but it's not explained in the pasuk. And then there's another statement in the pasuk is arur, which is vlaitinu, and then he cursed him. I mean that he did both. He took a shvua and he cursed him. Who says that they are necessarily synonymous in this case? That the arur is a pirut, is a detailing of the vayashba Yoshua. We don't know that. Right, so there the Gemara has a statement from Ula, which says that arur, right, they have some sort of mesorah, that arur was not an arur, but it's rather a nidui. Over here, the Gemara is trying to learn it out from the pasuk using the two words. But the Gemara says, how do you know that the two words are interchangeable in the pasuk? Maybe, or one's being mefarate the other, maybe they're two separate statements in the pasuk. So it's not clear, right, that even though in Devorah, by Shirat Devorah, she repeats it, but that's because it's a song, it's a Shirah, not because she's saying Arur, Arur, one is an Arur to curse, and one is an Arur for Nidui, but that's the style of Shirat Devorah, where she repeats items, she doubles things in the Shirah. So the other attempt is from in Shmuel Aleph, this is the battle of the Plishtim with Shaul, and they're fighting the battle, and then Shaul says that the people may not eat, may not consume any food. He says, V'ish Yisrael nigash b'yomahu, v'yo Shaul ata'am le'mor arur ha'ish ashe yuchal. Right, that arur, so what does the word arur mean? Arur, anybody who eats, uchtiv. And then later on, it says like three psukim later, V'yonatan lo shema b'shbi'ah aviv et ha'am. Yonatan didn't hear about the shvuah that his father took. Wait, I didn't just say that he said arur ha'ish? He didn't say any shvuah, so why is it calling a shvuah that Yonatan didn't hear? Allah, what? It must be that the arur is being used as a shvuah. The Gemara says the same question here. Who says that there aren't two things here? Ashbi and who? Vilaitinu. That he took a shvuah and he also cursed them. Who says that they are, one is a pirut of the other? Maybe they are two independent items. The Gemara says, mikti vi arur. It doesn't say, and he cursed them. I mean, that all it says in the first pasuk is arur. Didn't say ve'arur, that and he cursed them. It just says arur. Arur sounds like that's the only thing that he did. If that you want to say that by Shaul, you can also say that by Yoshua. Loktiv ve'arur. But Yoshua doesn't say ve'ashba Yoshua and then ve'arur aish. It just says ve'ashba Yoshua and then arur, which means that the arur is a pirut of what the shvua was. Not that it's an independent item, but rather it is the same item of the shvua that was beforehand. So again, we see that the word arur is used in all these three ways, in three types of contexts and three meanings. One is nidui, is excommunication. One is kala, is cursing. And the other one is shvua. No, the Gemara is conclusive. It says that the pasuk doesn't use the vav, hachib, but it doesn't have a vav to tell you and. It doesn't have a vav in there, that means arur and shvua are the same thing. Meaning that when Yeshua says vayashba Yoshua and then it says arur, arur is telling him what the shvua is that he took. If he wanted to say they both took a shvua and cursed him, it should have said vayashba Yoshua ve'arur. It said and he cursed them. The fact that it doesn't say and he cursed them means that the curse is the shvua that he took. Or it's not a curse. Arur means a shvua. So it is conclusive in this case. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. Amen. When it comes to Amen can function in three different ways. Bo Shvua, Amen can function as a Shvua. Bo Kabbalat Varim, it can also be the acceptance, right, of a statement. Bo Hamanat Varim, or it can be affirmation or affirming of a statement. So Agmar goes, Bo Shvua, where do we know that Amen is used for a Shvua? Dichtiv, because it says, Bramra Isha, Amen, Amen. So by the Isha, by the Sota, right, she says Amen, Amen, because she's Mikabel, the Shvuat Ha'Allah that the Kohen makes. Now, as opposed to by Shvuat Ha'idut, or by Shvuat Ha'Pikadon, we're going to see, whereas Mashbi'a Mipi Acherim, in those instances, we know that the people, they don't have to actually take a Shvuat, they don't have to actually say Amen. Why? Because they are kofir. They deny the statement of the other party. So if they say Amen, it's as if they're Motzi Shvuah Mipiv. On the other hand, if they just simply deny it, it's as if they're accepting the Shvuah without actually coming out of their Bipi Atzmo. It's not the equivalent of them saying it. But that's not true by the Sota. She doesn't say anything. She's not denying anything. They're not asking her any questions. The Kohen just makes the Shvuat Ha'Allah. They don't ask her, well, you know, do you accept? You don't accept? Or did you, you're denying this, not denying this? That's not part of the ceremony. It's not part of the process. So therefore, the Amen, Amen of the Isha is the acceptance of what she needs to have accept the Shvuah. And that's what Rashi says, right? Aone Amen achar Shvuah k'motzi Shvuah mipiv. It's as if you stated the Shvuah, explicitly stated the Shvuah, and it's not, it's not like on our Mishnah, when it says, that there they were kofrim achar Shvuah, they deny it, and they say, we don't know any Edut. That's enough to be Shvuah ta'edut, because over there, that denial is all we need for it to be Shvuah ta'edut. And then the Amen makes it as if they said it themselves, and we said that earlier in the Gemara, that for Rabbi Meir, that's enough to be classified as Mipi Atzmo. And we also discussed the Rambam. The Rambam seems to indicate that when you say Amen to something where you have to be Yotzei by somebody else, if you answer Amen, it's as if you said it yourself, as opposed to if you simply hear it, Shomea Koneh, you are Yotzei as in terms of hearing it. But if you actually have to say it, then you need the Amen to make it as if you said it. And that's a similar type of idea that's being expressed here, that the Amen makes it as if you expressly said the Shvuah, versus the denial in Shvuat Ha'Edut, and by Shvuat Ha'Pikadon, which we'll see in the next Mishnah, is the rejection of the statement, but that is an acceptance of the Shvuah without you explicitly stating it. Over here, the woman who says Amen, Amen, is explicitly, it's as if she said the Shvuah herself. It's the Gemara in Sota, where we learned it together, about Amen al, right, Ishzu, Amen al Acher, Amen al Nisuim, Amen al Erusin. From here we learn, right, that you are able to Megalgalin Shvuah. That's what the Amen Amen is. That your Megalgal Shvuah, it's not just the Shvuah on this action or this specific incident, but we add in a whole bunch of other incidents, and therefore we say Amen v'Amen. That's why she says it twice. The Gemara, right, I hear what you're saying, but the Gemara uses, already has another drush as a Masorah, that there's another drush of the additional Amen, and that Amen by itself would have been insufficient. That Amen is a Kabbalat Shvuah, and that the second Amen is an additional Kabbalat Shvuah. Bo Kabbalat Dvarim, it's the acceptance of a statement, Dichtiv. Because it says, and this again is this week's Parsha Re'e that's continued in Parshat Kitavo, Arur Ashelo Yokim et Divrei Torah Zot Asot Otam by Hari Gizim and Hari Val Varmar Kol Ha'am Amen. They answer Amen. They answer Amen to the Arur that they are accepting, right? The Arur, they're accepting the statements that are being made in Har Gizim Hari Val. They answer Amen to it. That's an acceptance of something. Now Rashi over here says something interesting. It's very difficult to understand. Rashi says Bo Kabbalat Dvarim. He says Ha'omer L'Chavreyo Al Menat Shitkayim Li Tnai. Person says, if you do so and so, or such and such, then I will give you, or I will, right, go ahead, something else will take place. There's a condition. And then the person says, Amen. So when he says Amen, then he's obligated to keep the Tanai, and he's obligated to keep the condition. So the problem with this is, and the Rekibi Eger points this out, is that that's never the case by a Tanai. A Tanai is a condition, for instance, the giver is giving something, and then he places a condition in giving it. Well, you have a choice. Either you do the Tanai, and you get the item, or you don't do the Tanai, and then you don't get the item. I mean, that your acceptance of the Tanai has no bearing on the fact. This is a unilateral statement. He is granting you something. If you want to receive it, right, if you want it to go through, then the answering of the, then you just have to do what he said. He stipulates exactly what he wants to happen. And if you want to get whatever he is that he's granting you, then you need to keep the Tanai. You don't need an Amen to accept the Tanai. There's no need for acceptance over here of that condition in order for it to happen. Same thing with Kiddushim. If someone stipulates a Tanai in the Kiddushin and the woman accepts the ring, she doesn't have to say Amen to the Tanai. Her acceptance of the Kiddushim means that it won't be Kiddushin unless the Tanai is fulfilled. So it's not clear what Rashi is stating over here, this Amen, this Kabbalat Darim that Rashi is describing over here, because in those instances, it doesn't seem to be necessary to have an Amen, right? Because it's really driven by the giver, not by the receiver. The recipient does not have to answer Amen in order for the Tanai to be in effect. You could suggest possibly, I mean, it's hard to understand, but maybe you could suggest, like by the B'nai Gnai to B'nai Ruvain, where you had the Tznai, in terms of them inheriting the land, that again there, Moshe stipulates that they will only get the Eivar Yarden if they keep their half of the Tznai. So the Amein might be an acceptance of those conditions of that principle. Again, if they didn't accept it, they wouldn't have a choice, because if they don't keep the Tznai, then they don't get the land. It's not that they can stipulate something else or they can create the conditions. Moshe creates the conditions. But maybe that Amein gives you some sort of acceptance that these will be the principles by which we are guided. It's somewhat difficult, Rashi. Right now, the last one is Amein, right? The last Amein is Bo Amanat Dvarim. That there it's an affirmation of a statement, because it says in Yirmiyahu, it says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu Navi. Now, Chananya is not there, it's the previous pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's in the subsequent pasuk, does not have Elchananya, but he says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu Navi, Amen, Ken Yaseh Hashem, Yakeim Hashem et Dvarecha. There's a Nevi'im, or the Nevi'i Sheker, that are telling the people that don't worry about all the galut that's happened till now, that the king of Babel is going to be given in your hands, and all the Jews are going to return here, and everything's going to be fine. So Yirmiyahu Novi obviously knows that that's not the case. He has the real nevuah, or what's really going to happen. But he does respond to the Nevi'ei Sheker, and he says, Amen, Ken Yaseh Hashem, Yakeim Hashem Dvarecha. Wow, it should be. So should it be. Meaning that I wish it would come true. I wish what you were saying would come true, even though obviously what they're saying is false. But you see what he's doing over here, Amen, is Hamanat Devarim. He's affirming that he would wish that would happen, or that would take place. And that's what, as Rashi states over here, Bo Amanat Dvarim, Rashi says, V'ra'ui la'not amein al dvar tefilah t'china. That's why it's appropriate to answer when one davens or has a supplication to answer amein. Sh'loshon amein dvarim she'hi ratzon she'hi amet kein, that it should be so. And that's why we answer amein. In davening, we answer the Kaddish, we answer all different things. Amein is Hamanat Dvarim, she'hi ratzon she'hi chein. That so should be, or it should come true, or it should be such. So be it. Amar Rabbi Lazar. So you have another statement here. Lav, shvua, hein shvua. The term lav and hein, when they're used here, create a shvua. Gemara says, bishlomo lav, shvua. I know that the word lo or lav creates a shvua because of what's said by the mabu. Dichtiv, lo ye od maim le mabu, chtiv kimei noach zot li asher nishbati. Right, that Hashem says, I took a shvua that I won't bring a mabu. Where did he take such a shvua? Well, he said, he made a statement before, velo ye od maim le mabu. So that's how we know. So Gemara says, okay, so now I know that the word lo is used to create a shvua. Ela hein shvua minolan. How do I know where the hein, right, in the positive side, is creates a shvua? So Gemara says, svaruhu. It's a logical argument. Midalav shvua hein ami shvua. If you can formulate it in the negative, you should be able to formulate it in the positive. Lav works as a shvua. Hein also works as a shvua. Ve'omer Rava. Now Rava qualifies this statement. He says, v'hu damar lav lav tre zimne. V'hu damar tehein hein tre zimne. That's as long as he says it twice. He has to repeat it in order for it to be a shvua. Now Rashi believes that when you say hein hein or lav lav, it's a full-fledged shvua. If you look at the Tat Tosafot, he says, no, that, you know, he says, lav de shvua mamashu. It's not really a real shvua. El yesh li zaheir k'vitzat yesh onesh badavar. You have to be careful. When you say such a thing, you should keep it. Be careful, because there is some punishment about this item. So how do we know that lav lav, you need a doubling of it? Dichtiv. Because it says, now this is somewhat problematic over here, because they're quoting psukim from the Mabul. And the problem that we have now is that the appearance of the word lo is actually three times. And that is that the pasuk that they're quoting now is a pasuk yud aleph, perek tet, pasuk yud aleph, velo yikaret kol basar od mimei hababul, velo yeh od mabul l'shachet aretz. That's twice the word lo. And then in pasuk tetvav, it says also, in addition to that, it says also, vayah banani anan al aretz v'nitar b'kesho anan v'zacharti briti, so now we have the word lo appear three times. Because the Gemara first quoted the pasuk above of velo ye od amayim lamabul, which is the pasuk in Tadvav. And now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yud Aleph, which is velo yikaret kol basar od mimei hababul, velo ye od, right? And then again, velo ye od amayim mabul l'shachet aretz. So that's, again, the appearance of the word lo is actually three times over here. So the Gemara says, lav trei zimne, hein trei zimne. And the Gemara says, oh, so lav is twice, hein is twice. But you don't see it twice. So the Rosh actually changes the girsa over here and says that they're actually quoting the wrong pasuk. They're actually quoting the pasuk. They really wanted to quote the pasuk back from Perchet, which is Pasuk Chof Aleph, which says Vayirach Hashem et Riach Anichoach Vayom Hashem li bo v'lo osif l'kalel od et ha'adamah before Adam ki yetzer lev Adam ram min urav v'lo osif od v'akot et kol chayah shir asiti. And that's the Pasuk they meant to quote, was from back there, which only has one lo in it. The Marsha and others reject this because that Pasuk is when Hashem spoke to himself. It's about Vayedber al libo. He spoke to himself. Not that over here, Vayomer Elokim al Noach, where he's making a specific statement or a shvuah to Noach, which is the other psukim. So if that's the case, then we have to assume here that the word lo, even though it appears three times, that the one of them is not necessarily relevant, which is lo yikaret kol basar od mimei ha'mabul v'leah od mabul l'shachet ha'aretz. That means that they're one statement. It's not really that they're multiple statements. It's just a explanation or an expansion on the statement, and therefore the lo really only appears two times and not three times. But just to be aware of the fact that the girsa is not so clear here, and how they get the two lows instead of three is not so simple based on the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Right now, the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we had machlokas between the Rabbanan, multiple machlokot between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, about when it comes to certain mitzvot, is a kinoi sufficient? We said by Shavuot Ha'edut that a kinoi is sufficient, and Shema Yuchad or kinoi is enough by Shavuot Ha'edut, but that's not true by other instances. Rabbi Meir, in all the instances, says that kinoi works. Chamim disagree. So now the Gemara is going to go through each of those instances and discuss them. So the Gemara says, I'm a kalel b'kulan chayav, divi Rabbi Meir, if you use kinoyim and you'd use it as a klala, then you are chayav. Chamim potrim. Chamim say no. It has to be shema miyuchad. Tana banan. Ish ki yikalel elukav v'nasach eto. Right. So this is a person who curses elukav. Right. His God v'nasach eto. He's a chote. Matam alomar. Why is this pasuk necessary at all? Haluk varnemar. It already says there no cave shema Hashem motumat. We already know that someone's no cave shema Hashem. It's motumat. Because there it says no kev shem ha shem yud kev vav kev. So only if you use the shem amyuchad would you be motumat. Belvad me neither rabot at the kinuim. How do I know that also kinuim are included? Tamalomar ish kelelo kav. Over there it says kelelo kav. There's no definition. There's no demand of the shem amyuchad, and therefore it includes all the kinuim mikol makom. Whatever the curse says, divi Rabbi Meir. That's the limud of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, ish kelelo kav, which is extraneous, adds on to nokev Hashem, Hashem, right, motumat, that adds on, not only Hashem yuchad, but all kinuim would be chayah by mikalel, or really mivarech et Hashem. Chamim or me, on the other hand, the chamim say, Hashem yuchad b'mita, v'kinuim b'azara. We agree with you that the pasuk of ish kelelo kav does not demand Shem Yuchad, but it also does not say Motumat over there. It says V'nasachet O. The pasuk that says Motumat is only by the Shem Yuchad. So the death penalty only applies to Birkat Hashem with the Shem Yuchad. Azara, Lav, you violate the Lav when you do, or you're Mekalel, you're Mevarechet Hashem with any of the Kinuim, with anything besides the Shem Yuchad, because there it says V'nasachet O. Nasachet O is an Azara, but not a Chiyuv Mita. Right, next, Mikalel Aviv Imo. That's another argument between Rameir and the Chachamim. By Mikalel Aviv Imo, do you require Shem Yuchad or the Kinuim are enough? So, over here again, Man Chachamim. Who are the Chachamim that say that only works by Shem Yuchad and not by Kinuim, by Mikalel Aviv Imo? It says it's Rabbi Nachum Berab Yossi. The Tanya Rabbi Nachum Berab Yossi Omer, by Yossi Omer. Bin Akvo Shem Yumat. Pasuk says, "V'nakvo shame." If you use the shame, then you mat. Matam alomer. This is an extraneous pasuk. Why? Because what is it? Sham matam alomer. Sham limed alam kalela vivimosh enu chayav ad she yikalaleim b'shem. That pasuk is extraneous because we already have the pasuk for no cave shame Hashem mot you mat. So why do I need the repetition? Why do I need an additional pasuk of right v'nakvo shame you mat? It seems totally extraneous. So what does he say? Rabbi Nachman says that since it's enu linyan lakan. Today, the inyan acher. What's the inyan acher? Misham limed alam kalel aviv imo, which is closest to like we have by kibud av aim and kvod Hashem. So also the mikalel aviv imo is somewhat akin to mivarechet Hashem or mikalel Hashem sheinu chayav ad shekalem b'shem. That teaches us that only the shem miuchad works by the klala, only works by mikalel aviv imo, and therefore kinuim will not be accepted in this case. Even though, to be honest with you, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when we learned this Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara needs both of those. It needs benakvo shem yumat to teach you that you have to be no cave shem b'shem. And that's what the Gemara learns from that you not only is it you have to shem yuchad, but you have to be no cave shem b'shem. And it learns it out from this double lashon, or the doubling of the lashon here. So I'm not sure if Reb Nachman Bar Yossi, if he doesn't hold of that, or if he is somehow he has the pasuk is extraneous because it says yumat and benakvo shem if he has multiple duplications in the pasuk that allow him to learn out more than one item in this instance. All right, now the Gemara says in the last case, one of course is himself or his friend. There, the Chachamim agree that even kinuyim work. Everybody agrees by atzmo that you violate. There's no mita, but there is a lav. You violate a lav. How do we know that a person who curses himself violates a lav? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, "Raki shamer lecha u'shmor nafshecha ma'od." Shmor nafshecha ma'od. You have to watch over yourself carefully. So what does that mean? Even though in the context of the pasuk, this is really taking the pasuk out of context, because right, it's found in the Parashat Etchanan. Over there, it says that you shouldn't think that when you stood at Har Sinai that you saw anything, that you saw any tmunah, any pesel. Don't think that you saw that. So if you read the continuation of the pasuk, it doesn't sound like he's talking about himself, but taken out of context, it says this means that you have to take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, and we know that the word Kid Rabbi Abed, Am Rabbi Yilo, Damar Koma Kom Shnemar Hishamer Pain Baal Inu Elolotase. That these three lushanot, Hishamer Pain and Al, all are negative statements, but negative statements that create a lav. So over here, so it says Ushmor Nafshecha Maod. Ushmor Nafshecha Maod means you got it. There's a lav if you don't take care of yourself, right? You must take care of yourself, and therefore there's a lav if you don't take care of yourself. So one who curses himself is a lack of taking care of himself, and therefore he violates the lav according to everybody. It's interesting just to know, Tosis points this out over here, that it's very funny that when it's called a chovel ba'atzmo, someone who's mechabel in himself, it's a machlokes whether you're chayav or not. Right? Whereas when it comes to mechalel ba'atzmo, everybody, divrei akol, everybody agrees that there's an Easter lav. Tosis says it seems totally, right, that it seems totally inconsistent. One who is chovel in himself, right there, you have a machlokes. Over here, he curses himself. That's under Shmuel Nafshechomod. Why isn't Shmuel Nafshechomod enough for Chavalat? Tosis leaves it beside, but it's archiyun. That he doesn't know why that's not the case over here, that it should also be applicable to cases of mechabel be'atzmo. All right, now, our Gemara says, v'chaveiro, how do I know that one may not curse their friend? Dichti, because it says, lo tekalel cheresh. Now, the Gemara here is not actually quoting the whole thing. There it says, lo tekalel cheresh. The Gemara in Sanhedrin actually learns it out from a matzinu, or from some Lori Zek Raizet says Lo Tikalel Cheresh, as well as Mikalel Aviv, or and Aviv Imo, or Nasib Amchalu Taor, and between those, it's able to create that you're not allowed to curse anybody. But it's not from, basically, it's Lo Tikalel Cheresh, Vechule, etc. I mean, that's the rest of the Limud comes after that, but the Lav is derived from multiple psukim that tell us that Lo Tikalel Cheresh does not just apply to a Cheresh, but applies to anybody, or a Chaveiro, and therefore in that instance, you are Chayav, and neither of these instances do we say a requirement of Shem HaMiuchat, because here there's no mention of Hashem, or Yud Kei Vav Kei, there's no mention that you need a Shem Hashem, so therefore in all these instances, you violate the Lav, even with Kinuyim. Okay, Rav, Yativ Rav Kana, Kameid Rav Yehuda, Yativ Kamar Hamat Nitan Kitnan. Rav Kahana was sitting before Rav Yehuda, and he was saying over our Mishnah the way it's written, which is our Mishnah says Yakecha Hashem, and then Yakecha Elukim, and those are that's a shvak tuva b'Torah. So it says Yakecha. Yakecha is written in the second person, right? So that he said over exactly the way our Mishnah is written, that he said it over in the second person, and his Rebbe, right, got upset at him and says, "I'm like Kana." Says, don't say it that way, because when you say it in the second person, even though you're quoting the Mishnah, it sounds like you're cursing me. So rather, kana, make it into a kinoi, meaning that instead of writing it in the second person, turn it into the third person. So even, don't quote the Mishnah exactly like the way it's written, don't quote the psukim exactly like they're written, but rather, move them into the third person so it doesn't look like you are cursing or directing the curse towards me. So Yativ Aumi Rabbanan Kamei Rav Kahana. You have another case of someone sitting in Rabbi Yehuda. The previous case was Rav Kahana before Rabbi Yehuda, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda taught Rav Kahana. Now some of the Rabbanan are sitting in Rav Kahana, and now we see Rav Kahana say this. Yativ Kamar. And then they quote the pasuk from Tehillim, which is talking about Doega Domeo. Gam Kel Itatzecha Lanetzach Yachtecha Visachecha Me'ohel V'sherishcha Me'eretz Chaim Sela. Kosh Baruch Hu should destroy you forever, cut you off, pluck you out from your tent, and uproot you from the land of the living. So these are all negative statements about Doega Domi, right? To be uprooted and to be wiped out, right? And be cut off. So all these, again, written in the second person. And Rav Kahana says to them, Amalei Kana, right? Don't say them in the second person. Change them to the third person, because it looks like you're saying that or directing the pasuk towards me. This is an unbelievable chiddush. So where it says, Tarta Lamali. Why do I need two cases? The case of Rav Yehuda and the case of Rav Kahana. Maldu Teimana Mili Bant Nitin. What makes more sense, what's easy to understand, is when you have a Mishnah written in the second person, that you would change that to the third person. Okay. But here, aval b'kray, by psukim, that you would change the pasuk from the second person to the third person, emalo mechanina, and maybe you wouldn't say such a thing. Kamash malan, that even by a pasuk, you would change the pasuk from the second person to the third person in order that it doesn't look like a curse or a negative statement towards the individual who is sitting in front of you, which is an incredible thing, that we would somehow distort the pasuk in order to not have the pasuk look like or similar to a curse over here because it's directed through the second person. It's very, very interesting, interesting gemara, interesting thought. All right, now, the final piece of the Mishnah is Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim with regards to if a person formulates it in the positive. Do we say if he formulates in the positive, we can infer the negative statement, which is if he says, Hashem should not hit you or, you know, hit you down, or Hashem should bless you and be good to you if you do testify for me. Implying from that, if you do not testify, you should be cursed or you should have a shvua, it should be something negative. So Rav Meir says that works. Rav Meir says that's shvuat ha'idut. Chamim say no. So the problem with that is that we know Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir is found in the Gemara in Kiddushin, in the Mishnah in Kiddushin. And what does Rabbi Meir require in the Mishnah in Kiddushin? He requires tnai kaful. He says that you need every tnai to be stipulated both in the positive and negative form because you can't infer one from the other. You need to specifically state the positive and the negative. So how could it be that Rabbi Meir over here says we do infer, and there, back at the Mishnah in Kiddushin, that he doesn't say that? That's what it says. Lately, Rabbi Meir, mechla lavat ha-shumehain. Right? So Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of this. So Gemara says, ipuch, flip their opinions in our Mishnah. When Rabbi Yitzchak showed up, he quoted our Mishnah, the way it's written like we have it, which is Rabbi Meir is the author of the opinion that says we do infer. So Amar Rav Yosef says, now, our Mishnah is written with it that Rabbi Meir says that we do infer. And when Rabbi Yitzchak came, Tani Hochi, he also had the same girsa, the same way that we have it. It must be that Rabbi Meir's opinion is correct, and he does infer. Elakasha. So what are you going to do to reconcile between the Mishnah and Kiddushin and our Mishnah over here? Mar says, no, ki leitle b'mamona, aval b'isura itle. No, the difference is a question of whether it's a monetary matter or an isura matter. When it comes to mamon, right, then he doesn't have inferences. And therefore the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is talking about tnai kaful, over there we're talking about monetary matters. In monetary matters, we will not say that it is a tnai kaful over there, and therefore the inference will not, and he'll have to state specifically the hain and the lav. Aval b'isura, our Mishnah is talking about shuat ha'itut, which is talking about isur. Over there, you don't have to make the statement. There we will infer. When it comes to isur, we will make such an inference. The Gemara says, vehare sota. What about sota d'isurahu? Sota, which is a case of isur. Ve'amar Rabbi Tanchum bar Chachinai, and he said about this, hinaki k'tiv. Pasuk says hinaki, and we dashin from the Gemara in Sotah chenki, that she should be choked. Time of the k'tiv hinaki, only because it says in hinaki, written as chenki, almost like chenki. Halav hachi, had it not been for that, mechlavat avatashumehein lo amrina, you wouldn't have been inferring anything. So let's just read Rashi. It's an important Rashi here, just because the Rashi, it's the last Rashi on the Amud. Varei Sotah d'Isura. Rashi says, uparchinan min al Rabbi Meir, detznav masechet kiddushim yachtiv, lo satit hinaki. Right? If you did not cheat on your husband, you didn't do something wrong, hinaki, you will be cleansed, you'll be clean. And listen to this line in Rashi. Upshita la dolo hitzruchu levarechet ha-sotot. We don't need to give brachot to the sotot. The sota is there not because she acted so nicely and behaved so well. She's a sota, she was miyached with a man after her husband told her not to be miyached with a man. So why was the pasuk giving her a bracha if she didn't cheat on her husband, even though she did all these other improper things? So Rashi says it's pashut to us that we don't look at the pasuk to be what? The bracha. The only reason it's written in the pasuk is to teach you the negative formulation out of the positive. Klala michlal bracha, to learn the klala that she im satit lo tinaki, that if she did cheat, she will not be clean and she will not be let off the hook. So amalo bainan kfela. So from that, had it just been written that way, we would have thought that you could infer things from sota. Along comes Ramtanchum and says hinaki k'ti below yud. Hinaki is written without a yud to teach you kamo chinki, she should choke. Vikaya krod de batrain. It's going after the pasuk afterwards. Dichtiv at kisatit. It says afterwards, chinaki at kisatit, that you will be choked if kisatit, if you did cheat and if you were wrong and if you did the wrong thing over here. Lamash mahochi chinki mimayim amiarim. You will choke from the bitter waters. Ha'ala ha'ile ve'at kisatit, because you did wrong. Alma. So if it would have been easy had we not had the statement of Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chachinai, we would have thought any Akhinami, you could do a lav mitochein and hey mitoch lav. The fact that Rabbi Tanchum comes out of his way to teach you that the lav is written in the pasuk, the chinki is written in the pasuk to teach you that there's not only a hey, but the lav is explicit in the pasuk, that comes to teach you that you wouldn't have inferred it otherwise. So you see that by sota, which is the surah, we're not willing to accept the fact that there's a lav michlal hein or hein michlal lav. So why not? Why not in that instance? So elon ipuch. The Gemara says, okay, let's go back to flipping it. And afilu bi isura leitle. Even by isur, Rabbi Meir does not hold of this concept of michlal atashumei hein and mehein atashumei olav. Ah, so now what about our Mishnah, right? What about we still have the problem of our Mishnah, which is an isura. And we're going to have an additional problem, which is the Gemara is going to ask, Matifla Ravina. Ubi Surah, let they? Does Rabbi Meir really not have by Isur this inference of Milava Tashumei Hein Mehein Tashumei Lav? Elamiata, what are you going to do with this case of Shtuya Yainu Purei Rosh Demita? How do we know that someone, a Kohen, who comes in drunk and does a Voda in the Mikdash, Purei Rosh, or as comes in, right, with his hair not cut, right, that is, his hair hanging out less more than 30 days without a haircut, that he gets a punishment of Mita? Why? Because the pasuk formulates it in the positive form. Formulates in the positive form that if you do not want to die, then make sure that you're not drunk and make sure that you come in with your hair cut. Right? So now the inference is that if you don't have those items, you will be killed. So here's an inference, and we don't have anybody. That's divrei akol. Nobody disagrees with that. So that's how do we know? Shuyam Frushi Rosh to Mitachanami, right? The late Rabbi Meir. You're going to say Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of this because he doesn't hold of this inference that you make here? But not. We have explicit Mishnah. Elushim Mitash. Shuyayayin Puri Rosh. It's an explicit Mishnah, and we don't find Rabbi Meir arguing. We don't find anybody who argues on this Mishnah. It's a Divrei Hakol. So you have to have Bisura, Milavatash Meahain, and Shemelat Alav. So that can't be the answer that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of Bisura. Ella, the Gemara says now, the Olam Tipuch. This is the Girsu of Rashi. The Girsu of Rashi is that we remain, the Olam Tipuch, remain switched around. Their opinions remain switched around, but we're going to flip what we said before. Ki leitle be mamona. What is it when Rabbi Meir doesn't have it by mamon, Bisura itle. By Isura, he does have la mishmehain. Ah, what about Sota? What are you going to do with Sota? Ah, the answer by Sota is the Isura Depe Mamonahu. It's not really an Isur, it's an Isur that has Mamon in it. So it's really a case of Mamon. Since it's really a case of Mamon, therefore you can use the La Meshana Tashumea Heina Tashumea Lav. Now, I will point out to you, the difficulty with this is actually we saw Tosos back on Lamed Gimel and Aleph. If you remember the Gemara asked, when we said the Gemara back on Lamed Gimel, the Tosos asked over there, how do we know that the Owen of Sota, right, that how do we know that it's talking about an Isura over there? But a Sota is really a case of losing Ketubah. It's talking about Mamon. So why is the Gemara trying to prove from Sota that it's Isur? So Tosfos over there says, the Ikar lo ati lahafsidak Ketubata. The Ikar of Sota is not coming to make her lose her Ketubah, but rather for the Isur, to may aser her on her Bala and have her drink the Mei Sota. Yet over here, the Gemara is calling Sota the other way around, the Isur de Itbe Mamonahu, that the focus here, it's an Isur with Mamon, and that there is more of a focus towards the Mamon side than the Isura side. So, Matosus over there says the Ikar is Isur. Over here, the Gemara is seeming to say that it's Mamon is the Ikar side of it. Just to be aware of that stira, Tosfos brings the old Girsa. The older Girsa of the Sfarim was the other way. Rashi rejected this Girsa, was the other way around. The Olam Lotipoch. Don't flip their positions. But then he says, if you don't flip their positions, you run into a problem with the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim who don't have La Milav Shodun Yehain, Mehain Shodullah, what are they going to do by Shtuya Yayin? They're not going to fit in by Shtuya Yayin. And because of that, Rashi says that can't be the Girsa over here. Tosos defends the Girsa a little bit, and then he goes on to say maybe Rashi's Girsa is right. And then he comes up with a Chiddush based on another question from Rabbeinu Tam. They come up with a Chiddush that comes from an answer to this question from a Rav. Yom Tov, it sounds like. Dafko be Isur Chomor hu. Title Rabbi Meir Michlav of Atashumahin. It's only by Isur Chomor that he has Lav Atashumahin and Shumahin Atashumah Lav. But by regularly Surim, he doesn't have it. So that would help us solve the problem here, right, to buy Sota. Right, Sota is Isur de Itbe Mamona. All that tells you is it doesn't, now this will help us out. Because then it's not a, not that it's Mamon, But it's Isur Sheish Be'Momon means that it's not an Isur Chomor anymore. If it's not an Isur Chomor, then we don't have inferences of Hain and Lav according to Rabbi Meir. So what Rabbi Meir's statement is that the only time we have inferences is when it's an Isur Chomor. When it's Momon or an Isur Kal, then we do not have Mei Lav Atashomei Hain and Hain Atashomei Lav. And that's how it will actually help us reconcile all these items, because then it won't be a steer to the Tosfos also back there, who said that the Iker there is Isur, not Momon. You're right, the Iker is Isur. But the Momon indicates to you that this is an Isur Kal, because there's also Momon involved with it. And that takes it down a notch, and Rabbi Meir only holds with this Milav Atashomei Hain and Hain Atashomei with Isur Chamor. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is Shavuot. Well, that's the answer. The answer is by Shavuot that it's an Isur Chomor. And now we're going to see. There's a Galata later on. We're going to see about this, that the Lotisa Shem Hashem, that Isur is something that's very Chamor. It's a Isur Chamor. And therefore, Rabbi Meir will say, Milav Atashomei Hain, Mehain Atashomei Lav in our Mishnah over here. Rabbi Meir by Tnai Kaful. So there it happens to be a machlokes. Very good point. There you asked the question. It's brought down. The Rashbam is brought down in Tosos over there. Machlokes, whether the Tnai Kaful by Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, it's machlokes Tosos and the Rashbam about where it is. Is it by Mamon or is it by Isur? And then, therefore, what do you conclude about the Tnai Kaful of Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain? According to Rashbam, it would be classified as Isur. And therefore, there is no milav atashomei hein, hein atashomei alav. And what is the Isur that we're talking about in that instance? That's the Isur, or the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So tonight, Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven is not referencing the Chalukah to Aretz mitzad Mamon, according to Rashbam, but mitzad Isur must be referencing the Yishuv, or the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And then Tosfos wants to indicate that it's a din in Mamon, and by Rabbi Meir, by Mamon, doesn't have a din of Lam Yishuv Heim, Heina Tashmei Alav. If you remember from that, it's a stira on a number of Gemaras. That's what Tosfos answers and discusses over there. It's a Rashbam and Baba Batra, and in Kiddushin, Tosfos quotes that Rashbam in Kiddushin as well. So that's back from that sugi. If you remember, that's one of the mekorot for mitzvah Yishuv Aretz. Okay, that ends Shvuat Eidut, the parak of Shvuat Eidut. All right, now Shvuat HaPikadon. This Mishnah, we'll do the Mishnah, and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow. The Mishnah, again, most of the Mishnah, in the beginning of the Mishnah, is unnecessary. It's just contrasting with Shvuat HaEidut. I mean, that it's not necessary to write Shvuat HaPikadon, or by Nashim of Nashim, men and women. Of course, it's no egg by men and women. There's no reason to believe otherwise. The reason it's written here is because of the Shvuat HaEidut, which says it only applies to Nashim and not to Nashim. So that's it. Biruch Chokim Ukrovim, it applies to relatives and non-relatives. Biksherim Upsulim, whether they're Kosh Leidut, Pasul Leidut. Bifnei Beitim, Vishalo Bifnei Beitim, Mipiatzmo. If he's the one who takes Shvuat HaPikadon, it doesn't matter if he's in Beitin or if he's out of Beitin. On the other hand, Mipi Acherim is Mushba Mipi Acherim. And he didn't say Amen. Enu Chayav Ajichafreno Bebeitin, Divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, it's only if he's Kofer Bebeitin. Why? Because Shvuat HaPikadon is only Mipi Atzmo. How do we know Mipi Acherim by Shvuat HaPikadon? We learned that out from the Gzera Shava from Shvuat HaEidut. So Rabbi Meir says, Domina Mina. Just like by Shvuat HaEidut, it only applies in Beitin. So to over here, it only applies in Beitin. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Chamim or Mim, Ben Mipi Atzmo, Ben Pi Achim. Kevin Shekofer, Bo Chayav. Doesn't matter if you're in Beitin, outside of Beitin, because they learn Domina V'uki Be'atra. They learn it out from Shvuat HaEidut that Acherim, Shvuat Mipi Achim is Chayav, but they don't require it to be in Beitin. They learn out from the context of Pikadon. Shvuat HaPikadon is not a requirement to be in Beitin. Now, V'chayav Az Don HaShvua, V'al Shigigata. By the Shvua itself, it doesn't matter whether you are a Mezid or a Shogeg, Im Zadon Pikadon, as long as you are Mezid by the Pikadon. I mean, you must know that you have the money that this person is requesting, the obligation he's requesting, you must owe it. You have to know that. The only question is if you are Mezid in the Shvua, you're taking the Shvua on purpose, or you're taking the Shvua Bishogeg. You're Chayav in both instances. What's the Shogeg here by the Shvua? That we know from the Gemara before, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, we had it by Shvua Teidut. That means that he knows he's taking the Shvua's wrong, but he doesn't know you're Chayav a Karban. That's Shogeg over here. On the other hand, if it's a Shigigata, Gredata, mean that you think you're telling the truth. If you think you're telling the truth and you take the Shvua, you're a patur in that case, because that's you're considered onus. Why are you considered onus? That's like Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, Libcha Nascha. You thought you were telling the truth. You only took the Shvua because you really thought you were telling the truth. That's a shogeg that you're not chayav a korban for. Umar chayav al zdona. When you are a zadon, what korban do you bring? Asham. You bring an asham bekesef shkalim. That's worth two sela. Right. That's a requirement. It's actually not learned from here. It's learned from asham meilot. And because of asham meilot, we learn over to the asham of asham here of. The Shvata Pikadon. Right, Shvat HaPikadon Ketzet. What is the case of Shvat HaPikadon? Let's have a couple examples. Amalo, Tainli Pikdoni, Sheshli Biyadcha. Give me my Pikadon, this item that I left with you to watch. Shva, Shein Lecha Biyadi. Says Shva, I don't have anything. Or, Shamarlo, Ein Lecha Biyadi. Says, I have nothing of yours. So he says, Mashbiachani. He takes me Shva, Bamar Amen, and he responds Amen. Again, here he doesn't have to respond Amen. Amen makes him Mipiatzmo. If he doesn't respond Amen, it's still enough. His denial is enough. Harzeh Chayav. In this case, he's Chayav Shvat HaPikadon. Hishbiya Lav Chamesh Pi'amim. If he did it 5 times, Ben Bifnei Beitin, Ben Shlo Bifnei Beitin, Ben Kafar, and he denies it each time, Chayav HaKol Achad V'Achad. As opposed to Shvat HaEdut, over here, it makes no difference in or out of Beitin, you're Chayav on each instance. Why? Because that's Amar Rabbi Shimon. Matam. What's the reason over here versus Shvat HaEdut? Beishachol Akzor La'odot. Every time, even after he's taken a shvuah, denying that he owes the money, he can afterwards admit that he owes the money. I mean, there's no restriction against him denying. The fact that he can admit to it afterwards means each denial is a separate denial. It's supposed to shvuat eidut. Once he denies eidut, he has no right to give eidut anymore. Therefore, the shvuat eidut afterwards is meaningless. Ayu chamisha tovimoto. 5 people were making claims on him. Amrulo, tein lanu pikadon sheish lanu biyadecha. Give us our pikadon that is in your hand, and whether they're separate pikdonot or there's one pikadon that's shared by all of them. Says shva she'en lechem biyadi. He takes one general shva that you have nothing on me. Chayav enu chayav elachat. He says you only have one shva because he took one shva. Shva she'en lecha biyadi v'lo lecha v'lo lecha. He says no. Each one he says shva to you and to you and to you and to you. Then he's chayav al achat v'achat. Then it's as if he took a shva to each one individually, and he'll be chayav on each separate shva that he took to each toveya. Rabbi Lazar Omer, ad shumar shva be'achrona. He has to say shva at the end of the statement. He can't say shva lecha lecha lecha. He has to say lecha 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 shva, because the shva at the end says that it references back to all the statements he made before. You don't want to say it in the beginning, but you rather you want to say it at the end. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad shumar shva lecha lecha lecha. Shimon says you have to say shva lecha, shva lecha, shva lecha, shva lecha. You have to say the extra word shva by each one of them to indicate that it's not a single shva, but rather a separate shva. Tenli pikadon utsumet yad gezel v'abidei sheyesh li biyadecha. You have multiple items, you have multiple obligations towards me. Give them all. Shvua she'en lecha biyadi. Says that you have nothing on me. Enu chayav elachat. Over there, he took one shvua to respond to multiple claims. He's only chayav once. On the other hand, if he says shvua she'en lecha biyadi, pikadon utsumet yad gezel v'abidei, he responds to each of the claims. Then he's chayav al kol achat v'achat. So each one of the obligations that he's denying over here, he'll be chayav on each one individually. Tenli chitin. He asked for the 3 pikdonot that he gave him. You have my wheat, my barley, my spelt. Give them to me. Again, he says generically, you have nothing on me. Over there, he's only chayav once. If he specifically states all the 3 pikdonot or the 3 items that he's making the claim on, then he's chayav on each one individually. I remind you now, like we said by Shvat Eidut, the chiddush here is that one part we're talking about the different types of obligations, which is tsumet yad, gezel avida, pikadon, and the other case we're talking about the same obligation, which is a pikadon, but different species, different items that are pikdonot. So the Mishnah is teaching us in each of those instances, if he specifies them, he'll be chayav kol achat v'achat, whether it's separate claims or whether it's one claim about different items. In all of those instances, he's chayav kol achat v'achat. Rabbi Meir Omer, afilu amar chita. So Rav Kusemet, even if he says it in the singular, right, wheat, barley, and spelt, right, not in the plural, then he'll be chayav kol achat v'achat. That's he's chayav on each one individually. That the Gemara will discuss. Anasta upitita et biti. Right, you raped or you seduced my daughter. V'omer lo anasti v'lo patiti. He denies it. Mashbiachani says, take a shvua that you're not chayav in this case. V'arma amein. He says amein. He accepts the shvua. Chayav. He's chayav in this case. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says, why is he chayav? He should be patur. You pay for, right, when it comes to anes mifateh, you pay a knas. So why should he pay over here? Poter sheino mishalem knas al piatzmo. Because if he admits to it, it would have been patur. So now when he denies it, he shouldn't be chayev of shvat pikadon. So Amrulo. So they responded to him. Afal pi sheino mishalem knas. You're right. When it comes to the knas, it's true that shvat pikadon has no effect over here. Al piatz mishalem moshe tubekam. But he still has monetary items that he has to pay when it comes to at least me'anes. Maybe not by mifateh, but there is the problem of boshet and pigam. Right, the embarrassment that he caused her and pagam, which are monetary matters, not knas, because we assess them based on the me'anes and the nenas, and then because of that, they are set based on real values here, and the pagam is the diminishment in value caused by the rape or the seduction. So therefore, he pays al piatzmo, and therefore, since he can pay al piatzmo, that he would be chayav for in shvat ha'pigadon. Ganavte et shuri, he says, you stole my shor, v'omer lo ganavti. I didn't steal it. Mashbiachani, he says, I take a shvuah v'amar mein chayav, because geneva, you have keren, that's a monetary obligation. And then genavti, aval lo tavachti v'lo macharti, says, you know what, I did steal it, but I wasn't tovayached, I wasn't mocher, I mean, that would be arba v'chamisha. So over there, mashbiachani v'amar mein patur, over there he's patur, because arba v'chamisha is knas, right? That's not care, that's not mamon, but knas, and therefore he's patur. Heimit shorcha et shori. Your shore killed my shore. V'omer lo heimit. He says, did not kill it. Mashbiachani v'armein accepts the shvua chayav. Because again, that's a monetary obligation. Monetary obligation. Takes the shvua, denying it, that shvua tapikadon is chayav. Heimit shorcha et avdi. Your shore killed my eved kenani. What's the din of a shore that kills a shore that kills an eved kenani? Shloshim shekel. It's a knas. It's a fixed price, no matter what the value of the eved is. That's clearly a knas. V'omer lo heimit. He says, he denies it. Mashbiachani v'armein. He says, take a shvua. He says, amen, patur, because there you're talking about a kanas. Shvuat ha-pikadon doesn't apply to kanasot. It only applies to mamon, real obligations, not where you could admit it and get rid of the kanas. Amar lo, chavalta bi. You hurt me, you damaged me, you did something to me. Vasita bi chabura, and you did some chabura to me. V'omer lo chavalti, v'lo asita bi chabura. I didn't do any of this. Mashbiachani, v'amar amen, he says, chayav, because over there you did damage to an individual. It's a monetary obligation to compensate them, to rectify the situation. And therefore, you're chayav if he takes shvuat ha-pikadon, denying that you're obligated in that money. So on the other hand, he says, Armelo Abdo, his Eved Kenani says them, he palted shini, you knocked out my tooth. Simita et eni, you blinded my eye. V'omer lo, he palted, v'lo simiti. I did not knock out your tooth, and I did not blind you. Mashbiachani says, take a shvav, amar, amen, patur. In that case, he's patur. Why? What happens when the Eved Kenani's tooth is knocked out, his eye is blinded? He goes free. Shichrur, that's a knas. That's not a monetary compensation. That's a, right, shichrur tachat, that damage that you did over there. So therefore, if he takes a shvat pikadon on that, it's not a knas, therefore he's going to be patur. Zeklau, here's the principle which we've already spelled out by going through all these cases, which is, kol meshalemo piatzmo, anybody could be obligated, if he admits it, he'd be obligated, which is monetary matters, monetary obligations, then you're chayav shvat pikadon. She'en meshalemo piatzmo, some that you do not pay when it's admission, which is modeb knas is patur, so that is anything that deals with knas, in that case, en meshalemo piatzmo patur, you're patur from shvat pikadon. So we'll stop over here, and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow.